would be a dramatic oversimplification to say that the Sunday School Board was organized. Actually, the Sunday School Board evolved over a long period of time and has come to be the largest of the Southern Baptist Convention agencies. From the Sunday School Board comes periodicals, information on methods, the assistance in areas of Bible study, church training, church music, church literature, vacation Bible schools, deacons trainings, church administration, and a multitude of other activities. Last year, the Sunday School Board issued 83,500,000 periodicals, bulletins, and special items. They published 72 new books and sold over 5 million books and special items. The Sunday School Board is on the front line of Baptist agencies. It communicates through the printed word, and I marvel how well the Sunday School Board communicates, considering the great diversity in education, in travel, in background, in geography, in experience, and in attitude that exists among our 12 million Southern Baptists. What is the Southern Baptist Convention? It's the Sunday School Board. 3/4 of a year ago, the inventive genius of man developed techniques to communicate without wires. Soon thereafter, the radio industry was born. Discerning Southern Baptists saw that this new means of communication would be an effective way to spread the gospel, and thus the Radio Commission came into being. The television developed, and the television assignment was given, and now we have the Radio and Television Commission located at Fort Worth, Texas. Currently, the Radio and Television Commission has 39 programs on 2,802 stations. There are 9,000 separate programs each week, an average of one each 16 seconds. During a recent 12-month period, there was written responses from over 190,000 new people, and during the month of March, there was over 30,000 responses to one program. The average Southern Baptist provides 14 cents a year for the Ministry of the Radio and Television Commission. Procter & Gamble spends 40 times as much on the radio and television to sell soap than Southern Baptist Convention spends to sell the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. The radio and television can enter homes where a visitor is not welcome. It can enter a high-rise apartment with a guard standing at the door. It can enter a village inaccessible by modern means of transportation. It can penetrate the bamboo curtain, and it can go over the iron curtain. Now, from your cooperative program dollar, 4.5 cents of it goes to support the effective outreach and mission work of the Radio and Television Commission. What is the Southern Baptist Convention? It's the Radio and Television Commission. Southern Baptists believe in the priesthood of the believer. They should not only the individual believer accept the office of the priesthood, but he should accept the duties of the office. Each competent individual is responsible to God for his own ministry. The work of all the people of God, the laos, is indispensable if the Christian church is to grow and develop. Southern Baptists recognize this, and they have taken positive action to enlist men. As a result, the Brotherhood Commission has been established, given a mandate to enlist men in missionary education, missionary involvement, and mission support. Perhaps the next great advance of Christianity awaits the involvement of increasing numbers of lay persons. I believe this to be true. We need more people called for full-time Christian service, but we also need to involve great multitudes of unlisted lay persons to carry the gospel around the world. To me, the greatest apostasy of the last 200 years has been the perpetuation of the non-biblical concept that the burden of evangelizing and missions lies only with the full-time Christian worker, and that the layman has little responsibility. Lay persons are expected to occupy the pew, to fill the offering plate, to teach a Sunday school class, and to teach church training, but otherwise are seldom challenged in church programs. We seem to have forgotten that the early church, the laos, were the people of God, all the people of God. There was no distinction between the so-called ministers and those now whom we now call the laity, insofar as their obligation and responsibility of living the gospel and spreading the gospel was concerned, because those early people went everywhere preaching the gospel. Once again, we need to get lay people involved. We need to turn to the brotherhood and say, you provide us leadership in this area. And incidentally, 1 cent out of that dollar that goes to Nashville goes to the Brotherhood Commission. In 1888, the Woman's Missionary Union was organized as an auxiliary of the Southern Baptist Convention, and what a marvelous job the women have done through missionary education in calling out missionaries and in launching two great programs to support financially home and foreign missions. This year, these two programs will provide $30 million for the cause of Christ, and thank you, ladies, for what you have done. And congratulations to you, Alma Hunt, as you retire after such effective leadership in the capacity during the past years. But the Southern Baptist Convention is even more than all of these. It's a stewardship commission seeking to enlist more and more members to acknowledge God is the owner, man is the steward, and to challenge men to return to God at least the tithe of that which they have been entrusted. It's the annuity board providing retirement and other benefits for people enrolled with it. It's the Christian Life Commission challenging Southern Baptists and the nation in areas of Christian morality and ethics. It's sorely needed at that time. It's an education commission working with our state Baptist colleges and universities to bring about coordination and cooperation of these institutions. It's the historic commission preserving the history of the past and keeping records of the events of the day, which will be Baptist history tomorrow. It's the Southern Baptist Foundation working to seek more efficient utilization of investing funds for Baptist institutions and provide another channel for Southern Baptists to make lasting contributions for its work and support. It's the cooperation with National Baptists, with the American Baptist Seminary in Nashville. It's the Public Affairs Committee headquartered in Washington providing constant vigilance in the area of religious freedom and the separation of church and state. It's membership in and support of the Baptist World Alliance as this body seeks to strengthen Baptist fellowship, organization, and witness throughout the world. As a small staff in the headquarters building in Nashville carrying on the day-to-day work of the convention, providing public relations and publicity, seeking program coordination, and distributing cooperative program and designated funds on a predetermined formula to agencies of the convention. All of these eight agencies and organizations combined receive only 4 cents out of each cooperative program dollar that is sent to Nashville. Well, how is this financed? Well, it's financed through the cooperative program, and you're familiar with the early history of Baptists raising money and how in 1925 they saw it was imperative that we have some coordinated method of securing and distributing mission money, and hence the cooperative program came into being. There was thus established a channel through which a church could devote a portion of each undesignated dollar to support to all the state convention agencies and all the Southern Baptist Convention agencies. The church itself would decide what portion of the undesignated dollar would go to these causes. Then the money would be sent to the state convention headquarters, and their division would be made between the state and the Southern Baptist Convention. The cooperative program thus made it possible for a church to make one gift for all. The cooperative program has proven a benefactor to Southern Baptists. It has worked well. It will continue to work in the future. But churches must recognize their responsibility. Last year, churches in the Southern Baptist Convention kept 91 cents out of each designated dollar, and 6 cents as an average went to the state convention and 3 cents to the Southern Baptist Convention. And you'll note from the chart that the percentage is going down that goes to the state, percentage-wise, and going down that goes to the Southern Baptist Convention, and that means the churches are keeping increasing amounts in their own treasure. In fact, 10 years ago, the churches were giving over 10% of the non-designated dollars through the cooperative program. We also need to bear in mind that the cooperative program is a two-part agreement. It is an agreement between the state conventions and the Southern Baptist Convention. The state convention should recognize that this is a cooperative agreement. It was originally developed as a result of a conference between state conventions and the Southern Baptist Convention. State conventions should not reduce the portion of the funds allocated to Southern Baptist causes without a prior conference with representatives of the Southern Baptist Convention. Likewise, the Southern Baptist Convention is part of the agreement. They should help in encouraging stewardship and mission giving by being good stewards of the funds that they administer and by cooperating with state conventions and promoting increased giving through the cooperative program. In 1975, we will be observing the 50th anniversary of the cooperative program and what a challenge it has before us, because the Stewardship Commission is throwing out a challenge of $150 million culminating in this campaign. And this is easily attainable by Southern Baptists if we will commit ourselves to the task, for the money is in the pockets of Southern Baptists. We need to commit ourselves to the declaration of cooperation as a worthy goal. By so doing, we can put more missionaries on foreign fields, we can put more missionaries in the homeland, and we can strengthen seminary education and increase the work of the Radio and Television Commission and fortify the work of every other agency of the convention. Southern Baptists give 2.5% of their income to the church, and there is room for improvement. In 1959, we were giving 3.33% of our income. In addition to the funds received through the cooperative program, the two special mission offerings sponsored by Women's Missionary Union, which makes a major contribution for home and foreign mission support. Our Southern Baptist growth in the United States has not been by accident. The growth has been a result of some very definite and basic principles, and I would like to mention a few of these. Southern Baptists are people of the Bible. This should continue to be our reputation, our practice, and our commitment. We must believe the book. We must read the book. We must follow the book. We must believe the Bible is the Word of God in which He reveals Himself to man and by which man has access to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we must stay close to the book. Second, Southern Baptists have always committed themselves to evangelism and missions, and we must continue to do that. Evangelism and missions brought us together. A desire to fulfill the Great Commission, the need for joint financial support, and the need for cooperation in training missionaries brought us together. 34,000 churches have been brought together in the Southern Baptist Convention, largely to carry out the Great Commission. Evangelism and missions will hold us together. At times, theological matters become divisive among Baptists. Matters of polity become disruptive. Institutions and their needs become questionable. Methods become argumentative. However, two things among Southern Baptists will heal the breach, soothe ruffled feelings, calm tempers, and unite us, and they are evangelism and missions. And then third, Southern Baptists have magnified the biblical basis for stewardship. Fourth, Southern Baptists have developed a program for educating its own ministers and denominational leaders through their own seminaries and providing Christian training in many universities and colleges for its young people. Fourth, Southern Baptists have impressed upon each individual his responsibility to share his faith and to provide a witness to lost people wherever they are found. And then Southern Baptists have put strong emphasis on the establishment of the church as the body of Christ and a fellowship of like-minded believers. These are some of the things that have made us grow. And in conclusion, I would like to focus your attention on some of the many things Southern Baptist needs to consider in the days that lie ahead. We need to provide more training for our ministers. A recent survey indicated that 22% of our ministers have high school education or less. 69% have either attended college or completed college work or have seminary training, and 36% have completed seminary work. 50 cents or 60 cents per capita that we put as Southern Baptists in training our ministers is not enough to get the job done in the area in which we live. We need to recognize that the task of winning the world for Christ cannot be done alone by paid personnel. Their efforts and their leadership must be supplemented by increasing numbers of committed lay persons who are willing, able, and eager to share their faith. I believe in a God-called ministry. I believe that God still bestows the highest gift, prophecy, to some and lays His hands upon them to be His servants and the shepherd of His flocks. But the increasing perplexity of the age in which we live, together with the frustrations of adults and the trauma of youth and the confusion in our homes, places an increased burden on our pastors, and also lost people stopped coming to church. Now we have many people who should be trained and led and encouraged and motivated to become involved in this, including young people and people who take early retirement and people who have attained their financial goals in life and retired people and a great multitude of others. To supplement the work of the pastor and the missionary, we must enroll increasing numbers of laypersons. Then Southern Baptists suffer a substantial talent drain. These are pastors leaving the pulpit, denominational administrators gaining secular employment, missionaries resigning, and lay people becoming involved in a multitude of existing or newly organized groups not related to the Southern Baptist Convention, such as Bible schools, educational institutions, evangelistic associations, missions, civic and health associations. We spend thousands of dollars educating our ministers, and we should do everything we could to stop the talent drain so far as Southern Baptists are concerned. There's little or no opportunity for the average Southern Baptist layman who desires to become meaningfully involved in some phase of Southern Baptist work to express himself through existing organizations or agencies unless he is one of the only 375 laymen who serve on one of the boards or commissions of the convention. Many lay people are often frustrated in their efforts to involve themselves beyond the local church. Often their efforts are frowned upon. Little wonder that many of our most talented and affluent lay men find fulfillment in activities and organizations not directly related to the Southern Baptist Convention. There are 100 million people in the Northeast, 1/6 of the United States. And we need to refortify our efforts to reach the 50 million unchurched people in that area in this country. The North Central states, including Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, are developing a program to double the number of churches and their total work by 1990. The Home Mission Board will help, but in addition to the help it's given, many churches and individuals should get involved in this challenging task. If we are to maintain our baptisms in the face of declining birth rates, we must go where the prospects are, and we must intensify our efforts there. Then we should intensify our teaching and promotion of stewardship, and much will be said about that during the convention. But the sending ministry is one Christian activity that all of us can become more meaningfully involved. Southern Baptists should be more cooperative in joint efforts with other Christian bodies in areas of mutual concern. We can share our knowledge of evangelism without losing enthusiasm. We can share our methods of Bible study without adverse results. We can share our genius in organization without affecting the organization. We can share in dialogue our theology without watering down our beliefs. We have obtained maturity as a Christian body, and we need not fear cooperating in joint efforts with such evangelistic groups where it would be mutually beneficial to the parties involved. As individual churches and organizations, Southern Baptists need to appropriate and depend more upon the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need more Spirit-filled people. We need more Spirit-filled churches, Spirit-filled agencies, and Spirit-filled meetings. As we become continually led by the Holy Spirit, we become effective ministers in the hands of God. Sometimes we permit tongues, the least of the gifts, to become so paramount in our consideration that we neglect the greater gifts. Incidentally, I feel it would be helpful to many ministers, lay persons, and churches if a Blue Ribbon Committee of Southern Baptists would issue a statement on tongues as to how to properly work with this phenomenon when it occurs in local churches. What is often divisive under the true leadership of the Holy Spirit might be made cohesive, for divisiveness is not of God. Southern Baptists should be proud of their heritage. They can look back with satisfaction on reasonable accomplishments, and they can face the challenge of the future with assurance, knowing that God is available and that he will hear those who ask and open the door to those who seek.
We are not alone in this task. The Holy Spirit is by our side, and certainly Christ will return, for surely the King is coming. Let us be ready. Some weeks ago, Prince Charles, the king, next King of England, visited in San Diego, California. His visit caused an unusual stir of excitement among the people. San Diego wanted to be at its best. The streets were to be cleaned, the gardens trimmed, the houses painted, the world-famous zoo freshened, and everything possible was to be done for the visit of the King. On the lips of most people in San Diego was the word, "The King is coming." Southern Baptists are working for the coming of the King, and he certainly is coming. There is much preparation for us to do. We need faith to cleanse ourselves of unrighteousness, for the King is coming. We need to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and heal the sick and visit the widow and orphans, for the King is coming. We need to strengthen the church, his body, for the head of the church, the King is coming. We need to witness and proclaim the word of God throughout our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, for the King is coming. We need to pray and study his word and follow his instructions, for the King is coming. We need to get hate and prejudice out of our heart, for the King is coming. We need to make our homes Christian, and we need to be good stewards of the talents and be generous with our possessions, for the King is coming. Every facet of Southern Baptist life should be directed toward making preparation for the coming of the King. We know not when he's coming. We know not how he's coming. We know not where he's coming. But this we know, and for this we praise God, the King is coming.
I remind you to my right who are standing, there are still hundreds of chairs over on my left at the other side of the building, and we would invite you to get there to be comfortable. Since we deal now with the book of reports, I recognize Clifton J. Allen, the recording secretary, to make one correction of an error in this book.
Mr. President, unfortunately, in the binding of the book of reports, an error has been made by the printers. Pages 173 to 174 and pages 175 to 176 are in reverse order and should be corrected in your book of reports, numbering these pages correctly, 173 to 176.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. I want to give one other report that the Arrangements Committee feels is very important. If you're riding the buses or you wish to ride the buses, there will be no more buses until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then buses will pick you up out where the flags are between 4 and 5:30 to take you to your hotels. Then from 6 until the sessions begin, they'll bring you back. And then after the sessions, until 10:30 or until everybody has been picked up, they'll get you home. In the morning at 8:15, the buses will start coming back. One caution they insist we give you is, stand outside the hotels on the sidewalk. 100 people were ignored by a bus because they were on the inside and the bus did not know. They will not pick you up unless you're standing at the curb. So they've insisted that we let you know this. The buses will start again at 4 this afternoon from here to your hotels. The Executive Committee is actually our business agency between annual sessions. But this committee never transacts any business that can be delayed until we meet in annual session. They have no desire to usurp the power of this body. We are the convention in business session. At this time, I recognize the chairman of our Executive Committee, Dr. Sims, who will introduce the first portion of the Executive Committee report and recommendations.
Thank you, Brother President. It's been my privilege this year and the last to serve as chairman of the hardworking 64-member committee, which functions in your behalf throughout the year on matters not assigned to the various agencies of our convention. You know Dr. Porter Ruth, who is the executive secretary of the executive committee, much better than you know any of us who serve as chairman. And I want him to stand, and the camera's all going to get us both on the camera. In a moment, he's coming to say a word about the actions that the committee has taken during the year. Now, I want at this time to recognize the entire committee. There are 64 men and women who serve on this committee, less one or two resignations that have come as people have moved out of state or have taken jobs in convention life which necessitate their resignations. I'd like for the entire committee, please, to stand. Believe me when I say they really work. And the staff members, who are such wonderful people, tremendous resource people, keep us busy with information and reading material, and we just meet from morning until bedtime when we go to Nashville. Now I want to call attention to the Book of Reports. I hope you paid your dollar and got one, because the report of the Executive Committee is in this book, starting on page 3 and going through page 34, and then continues in the convention bulletin for today. You will need that, and I trust you will turn to it now. Dr. Ruth is going to come and review with us some of the actions of the committee.
Thank you, Dr. Sims. The first thing that I would like to share with you this morning is some good news. We've all been thrilled by the challenge that Owen Cooper has given to us. And I think that he would be interested, as you would be interested, in knowing that you have already responded to that challenge. For during the month of May, we received $3,443,373 through the cooperative program in the offices of the Executive Committee, which represented an increase of 32.46% over May a year ago, which is the largest increase in any single month in the history of the cooperative program. Thank you, Southern Baptists. You will be interested in knowing that the increase for the first 8 months of this fiscal year is about 15%. And this will mean, Dr. Cawthon, that there will be an additional $1.5 million available to help meet the fires of inflation and devaluation and sending out more missionaries around the world than we had at first anticipated. Now, if you will turn in your book of reports to the report of the Executive Committee, the 47th annual report, and turn to page 4, you will notice the actions that have been taken this year by the Executive Committee. Under the bylaws, we are requested and instructed to report any actions that are taken by the Executive Committee to this convention. And there is no action taken by the Executive Committee at any time that is not reported in full to all Southern Baptists. You'll be interested in knowing that last year the convention instructed the Executive Committee to do certain things. For example, you asked that a study of the problem of aging be made. This has already been referred to the Interagency Council, and a conference of representative and interested people has already been set up for this fall to discuss what Southern Baptist Convention agencies can do to help you and your churches in a more effective way to deal with the problem of aging. The Executive Committee studied the assignment made regarding the matter of a motion picture and television advisory service. And it was reported to you after the February meeting that in view of the tremendous needs and the priorities in the convention, that it was not felt that funds should be made available to fund a motion picture and television advisory service at this time. In keeping with the action at Portland, although I must report to you that this has created some problems for us because we have no way of knowing that the hotels come through on all of the rooms that they have promised. Nevertheless, we notified the Dallas hotels that not more than 75% of the pledged hotel rooms were to be assigned to the Convention Bureau. We have studied the recommendation that was brought regarding Article 6 of the Constitution, and there will be a recommendation brought to the Convention regarding that recommendation. We have made available to you as messengers copies of the Book of Reports in advance. And you'll be interested in knowing that about 150 people wrote in and requested that copies of the Book of Reports be sent to them in advance. We're not going to review all of the actions that have been taken by the Executive Committee, but they are all summarized here for you. And if you have any questions about them, we want you to feel free to ask them. There's one other responsibility that we have, and that is to present to you a statement of the aggregate assets, liabilities, and receipts of the various agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention for the fiscal year. And you will find this in your convention bulletin for today. Mr. Chairman, this covers the items that have been acted on by the Executive Committee. We'll now turn it back over to Dr. Sims to present the recommendations.
We have asked various members of the Executive Committee to come and present these recommendations to you. You will find them, numbers 1 through 12 in the Book of Reports, and then starting with recommendation 13 in your convention bulletin. We recognize at this time Raymond Boswell, a layman from Louisiana, who's been chairman of the program committee, to bring recommendation number 1.
The budget which we propose for your consideration today will be found on page 27 in your Book of Reports. And also the slide presentations will accompany the recommendations we make. This budget is for that fiscal year beginning October 1, 1974. The report is brought to you after many hours of study and research and concern, and we trust under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, as a challenge for Southern Baptists. You'll find in your Book of Reports on page 27 this recommended budget, but we will review briefly with you the recommendations which will be made concerning the basic operating budget and the challenge budget, which together will total the combined challenge and operating budget of the Southern Baptist Convention. There will be some slides presented, and the picture shown will be representative of the work carried on by the agencies about which we're speaking. For the Foreign Mission Board, we are recommending a basic budget of $18 million with a challenge budget of another $1.5 million, for a total of $19.5 million. For home missions, a basic budget of $6,750,000, a total of $7,312,500. For the annuity board, a basic budget of $200,000, together with a challenge budget, $216,500. For Southwestern Seminary, a basic operating budget of $2,091,600, with the challenge budget, $2,265,900. For Southern Seminary, a basic budget of $1,656,000, a total $1,794,000. For the New Orleans Seminary, a basic budget of $1,317,600, with its total budget, $1,427,400. For Southeastern Seminary, a basic budget of $1,112,400, a challenge budget totaling $1,205,100. For Golden Gate Seminary, a basic budget of $687,600, a total combined budget $744,900. For Midwestern Seminary, a basic budget of $694,800, a total of $752,700 in their combined budget. The total budget of our seminaries, $7,560,000, and if we meet our challenge budget, they'll receive a total of $8,190,000. For the Southern Baptist Foundation, a basic budget of $95,000, or a total challenge and basic budget of $102,800. For the American Seminary in Nashville, a basic budget of $100,000, a combined budget of $108,400. For the Brotherhood Commission, a basic budget of $360,000, a challenge budget total of $390,000. For the Christian Life Commission, a basic budget of $245,000, a total budget $265,400. For the Education Commission, a basic operating budget $165,000, with its combined budget then $178,800. For the Historical Commission, a basic budget of $140,000, a total basic and challenge $151,700. For the Radio and Television Commission, a basic budget of $1,700,000, a total of $1,841,600 in its basic and challenge budget. For the Stewardship Commission, a basic budget of $176,000, a total budget $190,700. For the Baptist Joint Committee, a basic budget of $150,000, a combined basic and challenge budget $162,600. For the Southern Baptist Convention operating budget, a basic goal of $359,000, a total of $389,000. We come then to the final total figures of this budget, which is a basic operating budget of $36 million, a capital needs budget of $1 million, which will be presented in the method of distribution for this will be presented in the next motion. The challenge operating budget totals $3 million, and so we are recommending a total basic capital needs and challenge budget of $40 million. Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the Executive Committee, I recommend the approval of this budget.
You hear this motion. Is there a second? Is there any discussion concerning this recommendation? Any questions? If not, if you favor this recommendation, would you signify by saying aye? If opposed, by saying no. It is carried.
Now we come to that other part of the budget, which is a new plan for capital needs expenditures. Well,